is theologically accurate, or even just truthful, or necessarily happy. There's a song, many of you will know the song, called "I'll Be Home for Christmas." And the song was recorded by Bing Crosby in 1943. And in fact, the person who wrote the song, Kim Gannon, sang the song and presented it to the music industry, and nobody grabbed a hold of it. They said it was too sad. Because we sing "I'll Be Home for Christmas," "You Can Plan on Me," "Please Have Snow and Mistletoe and Presents Under the Tree," on and on. But the last line is, I'm not really coming. If only in my dreams. And so as he pitched it, Kim Gannon pitched it to the music industry, they rejected it. And the story goes that he was on the golf course with Bing Crosby. And he sung this song that he wrote to Bing. And Bing said, "I'll record that." And went, and as we know, it's a favorite of so many people. In fact, I just talked to a couple of people this week who said this is one of their favorite Christmas songs, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." And it caught off in America and beyond, and became a classic and a favorite. 1943, during World War II, the BBC banned the song because they were concerned about that last line, that it would deplete the morale of the British troops. And so we sing this, "I'll be home for Christmas, but I'm not really coming." You know, and it strikes me a little funny. But not only songs like this at Christmas, there's another song that we sing. And I am not, fear not, I'm going to not bash all the Christmas carols. But this one is an interesting one. "Angels We Have Heard on High." Scripture doesn't actually say that they were singing sweetly over the plains. We don't have it recorded, and we like to think that perhaps they sang, but it doesn't say that they sing. Well, what about "Gloria in Excelsis Deo"? What about that? Well, I doubt they sang Latin. You know, if they're going to sing anything, I doubt it's Latin to the Hebrew shepherds, or, you know, on and on. They're not going to get the message. But one of the songs that I really like, I heard this a week ago or so in a restaurant in Edmonton. Of all things in Edmonton. I heard this Christmas carol, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King." If you look at this song, here's just some of the lines of "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." "God and sinners reconciled." That caught my attention as I was standing, actually ready to pay the bill, standing, listening to, in the background, "God and sinners reconciled." And that phrase gripped my heart. Here, some of the other lines: "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth." Can you believe that this is playing in restaurants and in malls, in workplaces, all over? This is what this song says. God became human, bringing light and life to all, reconciling us to himself, that we would no longer die but be raised to new life by being born again. That's what the song says. And it's those lines, and we hear the declaration of the gospel that we can be born again. Amazing declarations of truth in these statements. God became human. The amazing message of Christmas, it's not only found in the song, but it's found in the pages of Scripture. And that's where the strength is. It's not in a words of a tune. It's in the pages of Scripture. It's in the Word of God that the Gospels revealed. This morning, I mentioned to those who are gathered together in prayer before the service, I don't have any catchy pictures to show you. I don't have anything to keep your attention along that line. We're going to walk through some scripture today. My prayer is, because I believe God wants to bring some transformation in our lives, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would captivate our hearts and our ears. And so can we not rely on the screens and even you know, on the stories? Bing Crosby, that's the only story I got this morning. But would you open your heart and your mind and your life to hear from the Spirit of God, from the Word of God, because he wants to shape us. He wants to shape us this morning. We all have fallen short of keeping God's law. And the consequences for that we know is death. Right from the start, God spelled it out. In the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day you shall die. Adam and Eve transgressed God's law, and the consequence was death, and death entered the planet. And Adam became a lawbreaker, and every child that followed inherited his sinful nature, all but one. All but one. One that was born of a seed of a woman, not by man, but born of God. And the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel. And the line of the song, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Jesus was veiled in humanity. And people looked at him, and the veil, not everyone saw the Son of God. In fact, Jesus would ask the disciples, who do people say that I am? Well, and they'd throw out some options. You might be John the Baptist, you might be Elijah. Who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living gods. And then Jesus would reply, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And this moment of people looking at Jesus and saying, isn't he the carpenter's kid? Like not much to see, nothing to see here, move along. It's Joseph and Mary's boy. Like, what's the big deal? They veiled in flesh. There was a veil that couldn't see Jesus. The last book that's in your Bible is the book of Revelation. And that word revelation, it says, your Bible will say, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not plural, it's not the book of Revelations, singular, the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the word means unveiling. The unveiling of Jesus. And as you open the pages of Scripture in the book of Revelation, there is a different picture of Jesus that we see, isn't it? In the Gospels, we see a picture veiled in flesh, humanity coming and serving, and people didn't recognize him. In the book of Revelation, it opens up, and we fall at his feet as dead. Unveiling. Jesus came, he conquered sin, paying the full penalty for our sin, and because of that, we get to live in freedom. And instead of living under condemnation and weight of guilt and shame, guilty under the law, we now live in freedom. Freedom from the consequences that we had deserved. We live free because of what Jesus did, that he took our place. Light and life to all he brings. Some have heard the message of the gospel, but some have not. Would you just pause and hear this again? Some people have not heard the message of the gospel. Some people in Calgary have not heard the message of the gospel that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And there are some people who have heard the message but have not heard the message. They've heard it. I've heard that before. But they didn't hear it. It didn't sink in. Somehow the message has not gotten through. And just because it's playing over sound systems in malls and stores and workplaces, maybe even people singing along who have not heard the message, even though they can recite the song. And I believe that that's spiritual. There is a spiritual factor. There is a spiritual darkness. There is a spiritual war taking place in people's lives. When you hear that someone else has given their life for you and can save you from an eternity in hell and loves you so much that he just wants what's best for you, and you say, no thanks. Somehow there's a darkness there. The enemy blinds people to the good news of the gospel. Scripture tells us they can't see it. The gospel has a covering over it that no matter how long they look, they just can't see it. Can you tell me what's underneath these candles, the tablecloth, what's holding those candles up. There's only a few people in this room who can, because they put the books there. But you can't see, there is a covering. And the Bible says this, if our gospel is veiled, if there's a covering that you can't see through, if it's veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. If the gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. For the sake of the perishing, for the sake of the perishing, the gospel must be unveiled. For their sake. For those who don't yet know the forgiveness of Christ, who have not yet experienced an awareness of the love of God, for the sake of those perishing, the gospel must be unveiled. For some, and many of us in this room, it's been unveiled and we've received. Scripture goes on to say, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ, Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. Look at what has taken place. For those who the gospel has been unveiled, this is what it says. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Let there be light. It's not just talking about Genesis. It's talking about the Word of God. Light who shined out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Listen, in the face of Jesus Christ. That's us. The light of the glorious gospel has penetrated our hearts. It's pushed out the darkness, and we've seen Jesus, and He saved us, and the veil has been taken off. It's not about us. It's not about us. We preach Jesus. It's the light of the gospel penetrating the darkness. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Scripture tells us that He is the exact image of the invisible God. And we've responded to the glorious gospel. If you've responded to the glorious gospel, we open our hearts to the truth that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and His light shines in on us. And we see Jesus for who He is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we choose to follow Him as Lord. Listen, when that happens, we are changed. We are no longer the same. There is a transformation that takes place. Death no longer has a hold on us. Death no longer has the final say on us. Born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. At that moment, we are born again. There's a transformation that takes place. I said last week, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, pardon receives. We rejoice that the lights have been turned on for us, that He's saved us, He's redeemed us, He's ransomed our souls from hell. Scripture says, like a bird that's free out of the snare of the fowler, out of the trap, we're like a child who has been kidnapped, that has now been, the ransom has been paid and the child has been restored to the Father. The lost has been found, and we have great reason to rejoice. Thank you, Connie. Connie and I have great reason to rejoice. Anybody else? But if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. Even though we have reason to rejoice and change has taken place, we're faced with the truth that if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. And for the sake of the perishing, we must unveil the gospel. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son. If anyone would just believe in Him, not just in His existence, but place our trust in Him, believing in Him, active faith believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God's not willing that any perish, but that all of us, that each one would come into a saving knowledge, into relationship with him. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of those perishing, the gospel must be unveiled. It's the line in the song, God and sinners reconciled. That so gripped me. There needs to be a reconciliation. What of those not reconciled? What of those today, here this Sunday? In your world, in our world, what of those who are not reconciled? Reconciled means this. It means to make friends again. It has to do with bringing together. What of those who have heard the song but not heard the message? What of those who are perishing, our family members, friends, our co-workers, people all around us, people who don't know that he's a good father, people who don't know of the love of God, the forgiveness of sins? It's in this context. It's in this moment that Paul writes to us. It's with this understanding that if there's a veil, it's veiled to those who are perishing. That the veil's been taken off for those who the light of the glorious gospel has penetrated into our hearts and let there be light. And that we can see in the face of Jesus the glory of God. It's into this that Paul writes, and he doesn't write to those who are perishing. He writes to us who have received Christ. He writes this: now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is us. Reconciled. Friends again. Brought together. And has given us, he is writing to us. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Make friends again, bring together. The ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him, and this is how. This is how we're reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Paul writes to us, us who have been redeemed, ransomed, the lights have turned on. Not because we're more brilliant or more anything. We have received the message of the gospel. Somehow the veil has been taken off, the light penetrated, and there's been transformation. And he writes to us, and he says God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send Jesus to impute their sins to them, show everybody how horrible they are, and demand justice. Instead, he didn't send his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we've responded to the light and life he brings because Jesus, we've accepted Christ and God's Spirit's within us. God committed to us. This is the point, the application of the gospel needs to be unveiled for the sake of the perishing. He has committed to us, everyone in this room, he's committed to us, the ministry of reconciliation. Some people wonder what their ministry is. I don't know what my ministry is. I'm trying to find out what my ministry is. Here it is. You have the ministry of reconciliation. It is a trust that he has given. He has entrusted us with the ministry of reconciliation for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of those perishing. For the sake of those perishing, the gospel must be unveiled. We heard the phrase, if we were to go back and hear the scripture about, it's as though God was pleading through us. This is what the word pleading means. It has to do with urging and exhorting and thankfully comforting, pleading. It's not a smashing down, condemning. It's an inviting, welcoming, I beg you, I beseech you, I implore you. Be reconciled to God's. There's a story that Jesus told about a brother who's wasted and squandered everything. And the brother comes back and is reconciled to the father. And the father is so glad to see the son. Comes back, put the finest robe on him, put a ring on his finger, kill the fatted calf. My son was dead and now he's alive. My son was lost and now he's found. And there's great rejoicing throughout the whole house, except for the older brother, who will have nothing to do with it. And he is outside the house. And he's in the field. And there's celebration that there's a reconciliation that's taken place. And it's in this phrase that pleading shows up. The father, the son, was angry and would not go into the celebration. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Come in. And it's that kind of heart that it says that God is pleading with. God pleading. But listen, with intensity and urgency is the come now. Scripture says now is the time of salvation. Don't wait. Don't pause. Don't hold off. Now. None of us know how much time we have. Don't waste another moment. The hour is urgent. The need is great. Be reconciled to God. But it's not just that God is pleading. That's not what it said. God is pleading through us. That's where we come in. God's heart pleading, beg you, implore you, invite you, welcome you, want you, call you. And he does that with his Holy Spirit, but he doesn't just do that with his Holy Spirit. It says that he's given us the ministry of reconciliation as though God were pleading through us. Be reconciled. The unveiling must come through us as we present the gospel in ways that people can understand. As his light shines through to penetrate the darkness and people see Jesus. The unveiling of the gospel comes through those who he has entrusted the message to, the message with, entrusted this task to. We have all been given the ministry of reconciliation. And it can't be motivated out of duty or obligation. Scripture tells us in the preceding verses, the love of Christ compels us to be reconciled to God. It's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. For God so loved the world, he gave his son. For God so loved the world, he has left you here to reach the world. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. God still loves the world. And we, motivated out of love, need to plead with people. Don't you know he's a good father? You don't know. Let me tell you. He loves you so much, he gave his son. Scripture tells us it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. It's not the condemnation we would want to lay upon them or potentially could want to lay upon them. It's an invitation to a relationship. Be reconciled. It's the father coming out to the son saying, be reconciled. Come in. I plead you. And he does that through us, his church, his people. We must do all that we can to present the gospel message. The answer isn't relying on a song in a store, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's a song in our hearts, the truth that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. On Wednesday, we gathered here and we prayed about open doors. Colossians 4, 2 and verses 2 and 3 talks about Paul saying, and pray that there would be an open door for the gospel. And it says that the mystery of Christ may be revealed. May that come to bear in our lives and through our lives this week, that we walk through the open doors that God has provided for us, and that because our hearts are so broken and so full of his love, that we plead with people, be reconciled to God for the sake of those perishing. The gospel must be unveiled. You have the right words. You have the Spirit of God within you. You have the Word of God in your hands and your hearts. He will equip you. He has already equipped you to do what he's called you to do. To do what he's called us to do. God and sinners reconciled. If you have experienced reconciliation with the Father, if you are in right standing with God, God has forgiven you through his Son, Jesus Christ, you now have the ministry of reconciliation. Go plead with people. As God pleading through you, be reconciled to God. He still loves the world. He's given his Son. May his light and life shine through us to touch people this Christmas season. Let's go ahead and pray. God, this morning, we are people who are grateful that you loved us so much that you gave your Son. That if we would believe on you, we wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, thank you for coming and giving your life for us, paying the penalty and offering each one of us the forgiveness of sins. But God, your word reveals to us that we have now been given this ministry of reconciliation, to reach out to those around us, to go and make disciples, not just to somehow help others grow in the faith they already have, but to reach the lost. You came to seek and save those who were lost. God, help us to live with an urgency and an intensity of reaching people with the gospel. God, we're so grateful you reached us. Through all kinds of ways and all kinds of people, somehow, God, you reached us. You penetrated the darkness of our hearts. And the light shone in the face of Jesus Christ, and we were transformed. And we are so grateful that you reached us, oh God. Where would we be without you? What would our lives look like without you? Oh God, we don't even want to think about it. We're just so grateful that you've saved us. God, in this gratitude in our hearts and our thankfulness, God, we want others to experience that. We want others to be able to experience the freedom from sin and guilt and shame, and for you to breathe life, for let there be light that penetrates the darkness. God, thank you for the open doors that are before us. We pray you would give us courage, hope, insight, motivated out of love, that we might share the gospel message, the good news. There's still good news. That there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God, help us be on task, on mission, and to see people come into the kingdom this Christmas season and throughout 2018. God, we pray that we would see a harvest brought in, that we would see souls saved, oh God. He who wins souls is wise. God, help us to walk in wisdom, in love and care, in sensitivity and boldness. God, help us to meld those two together. Boldness and sensitivity, coupled with love, covered in love. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. Give us words of wisdom and knowledge, faith and miracles. Oh God, may we walk in the power of your Spirit as we fulfill the mission that you've called us to reconcile people unto yourself. God, there's nothing we can do. We can't save anybody. You're the one who saves. So God, we rely on you. We're open vessels. Pour your life into us and through us to touch this world. And may people be reconciled to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.